A small multicolored car with a bicycle on its roof drives down a busy street. Three men fill in a pothole. Columbia Pictures presents Butterflies Are Free. People walk down a crowded sidewalk. A young man smokes a cigarette as he talks with a long-haired woman. Goldie Hawn. Eileen Heckert. A long-haired man wears a black top hat. Another man sports a long fur coat. And introducing Edward Albert. Two men shade their eyes as they peer across the street. Men with long hair and beards or mustaches stand on a street corner. People stand outside Mooney's Irish Pub. People talk, sit on car hoods, or walk down the city streets. One dark-haired man in a parking lot slowly rotates and lunges to his left. People walk near a long, narrow alley. On a street corner, a brown-haired man hurls a frisbee. A man in a flannel shirt carries a bag filled with uncut loaves of bread. In a cafe, a woman sits on a tabletop. A man carries a guitar toward people standing outside a shop. A man with a bushy mustache hangs up and picks up a phone in a phone booth. A taxi pulls over to a curb. A blonde woman holding three brimmed hats in a suitcase steps out and closes the door with her foot. She dons all three hats, steps into a doorway, then climbs a narrow staircase. With several bags slung over her shoulder, she climbs to the second floor where she steps down a narrow passage and stops outside a door.
I knew the day you met me, I could love you.
She unlocks the door, picks up her suitcase, and steps into an apartment. Produced on the New York stage by Arthur Whitelaw, screenplay by Leonard Gersh, based upon his play. The woman, Jill, walks into a bedroom where she tosses her coat, a short brown jacket, and a black shawl onto a bed. Produced by M.J. Frankovich. Directed by Milton Katselis. Jill undoes a long white skirt, drops a brown shirt, then reaches into a bag and pulls out a long white robe. She dons the robe, tosses the hats onto the bed, ties her robe closed, then picks up the shawl and opens the closet door. She glances around the empty closet, then drops the shawl on the closet floor. As a man in the adjacent apartment stands at a window, Jill steps into a kitchen, sets a bag onto a white countertop, and bites into a cracker. She steps to a tall window, opens it, and peers at the dark-haired man, who leans on a window frame. Jill and the man stare at each other, then Jill steps back to the counter, where she pulls an orange out of a paper bag and sets it on a refrigerator. She peers over at the refrigerator door at the man, who still seems to stare at her. Striding to the window and with the cracker in her mouth, Jill, wearing only a bra and panties underneath, opens her robe. The man doesn't move. Jill closes her robe, then pulls down a shade, which falls to the floor. The man still leans against the window frame. Carrying a paper bag, Jill skips down a crowded street. She stops at a sidewalk flower vendor where a man wearing a ball cap hands her a bouquet of white flowers. She turns, then runs up a steep stone staircase. In her bedroom, Jill rummages through clothing strewn on her bed and on a chair. She picks up a short white skirt. Jill struggles as she tries to unzip her blouse in the back. Don, Jill's dark-haired neighbor, steps into an airy room, leans on a short white refrigerator, then gazes toward a black telephone.
Fine, thank you. How are you? It's warm here.
He sets a glass atop the refrigerator.
How's it in Hillsboro? Well, it's warm here, too. Hello, Mother.
How did you know?
When you call, the phone doesn't ring. It says, M is for the million things she gave you. Always, I forgot what O's for.
You seem to have forgotten a lot of things lately. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well. How's the weather?
It's warm here. How's it in Hillsborough?
Warm.
Well, it's warm here, too.
How's the apartment?
Great, I love it.
What'd you do last night?
Last night? I didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't go out. I had some friends in. It was just a little party.
Jill sits on her bed as she listens.
I don't know how many people there were. Do you have to have a number?
Is it a secret?
12 and a half, how's that?
Did he stay late?
No, they didn't stay too late.
I'd like to come by and see you.
No.
Donnie, I'm coming into town tomorrow anyway. I have to go to Saks.
I said no and I mean it. I don't give a damn. I said no.
Jill steps to a windowsill, then picks up the radio.
Because we have an agreement, that's why. We agreed to 2 months. I've got 1 month left, and I want every minute of it.
Donnie, you are so irritating, I could absolutely cry.
What?
What is that noise?
It's coming from next door.
Who's next door?
The girl.
What's her name?
I don't know. I haven't met her yet. Look, I can hardly hear you. Call me tomorrow.
Don hangs up. His mother, brown-haired Mrs. Baker, slams down her receiver. Don steps to a wall, then knocks on it. Jill looks up and hurries to the radio.
I can't hear you! Wait a minute! Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, please lower your television. You don't have to turn it off, just hold it down.
It's not a television, it's a radio.
Whatever, these walls are like paper.
I know. You can practically see through them.
No, not really.
Hey, how about a cup of coffee?
No, thanks. I just had some.
I meant for me.
Yeah, sure. Come on in.
Jill turns a doorknob, but it's locked.
Hey.
She steps into a hallway, runs her hand along a low wall, then skips to her front door. With the back of her shirt unzipped, Jill walks quickly to Don's door. She steps inside.
Hi, I'm Jill Tanner.
Don Baker.
Would you mind, zipping up my blouse? Can't reach back there. Hope you don't mind me inviting myself in.
Not at all. Water'll be hot in a minute.
Your living room's much bigger than mine.
Jill peers out a window.
Oh, nice. How long have you been here?
A month. Kid, that's not the living room. That's the whole apartment. Plus a bathroom.
I've got 3 rooms if you count the kitchen. God, you're neat. Everything's so tidy.
It's easy when you haven't got anything.
I don't have anything. But it manages to wind up all over the place. I don't have one. What's this?
What?
This thing on stilts.
That's my bed.
Your bed?
Jill climbs a ladder.
Wow!
She sits on a bed beneath a skylight.
This is wild!
You like it?
Oh, it's the greatest bed I've ever seen! And I've seen a lot of beds. Did you build it?
No, some hippies lived here before me. They built it.
Suppose you fall out.
Jill climbs down.
Oh, gee, you could break something.
You could break something falling out of any bed.
That's true.
I could have had your apartment, but I took this one on account of the bed. Cream or sugar?
Jill peers into another room.
Oh! Just black, thanks.
She skips beneath the bed toward Don.
Here you go.
Oh, thanks. This coffee will save my life. I bought flowers and dumb things like dish towels and paper napkins, but I forgot coffee.
Jill sips her coffee.
Do you need any dish towels, paper napkins?
No.
I've lost light bulbs, too. May I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, sure.
Why don't you want your mother to come here?
Well, now, how'd you know that?
Well, if you can hear me, I can hear you. I guess the sound must come right out from under that door. What's that door for, anyway?
Well, your apartment and mine were once one apartment. And when they converted it into two, they just locked that instead of sealing it.
You didn't answer my question.
I forgot what you asked.
Why don't you want your mother here?
That's a long story. No, it's a short story. It's been going on for a long time. She didn't want me to leave home because she thinks I can't make it on my own. Anyway, finally we agreed to letting me try it for 2 months. She's to keep away from me for 2 months. I've got a month to go.
Don pulls a cigarette from a pack.
Why'd you tell her you had a party last night?
Oh, you don't miss anything in there, do you?
Very little.
He digs a lighter from his pocket.
I always tell her I had a party or that I went to one. She just wouldn't understand why I'd rather be here alone than keeping her and the cook company. She's gonna hate this place. She hates it now without even seeing it. She'll walk in and say, I could absolutely cry.
Does she cry a lot?
No, just threatens to.
Well, if she really wants to cry, send her to look at my place. At least you're neat. You know, you're old enough to live alone. I'm 19. How old are you?
As far as my mother's concerned, I'm 11. Going on 10.
We must have the same mother. My mother would love for me to stay a child all my life. So she won't age. She loves it when people say to her we look like sisters. And if they don't say it, she tells them. Have you got a job?
No, but I play guitar and I got a few prospects.
I know. I heard you last night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's good. Really, I thought it was a record till I kept hearing it over and over again.
Well, I can't read music, so I've got to learn by ear. I'm trying to put together an act.
And then what?
Well, then I'll try to cash in on a few of those prospects. I know one thing. I had to go on back to Hillsboro.
What's Hillsboro?
You don't know Hillsboro?
No. I don't know much about any place up here. I'm from Los Angeles. I've never been north of Big Sur.
Hillsboro is about 10 miles from here.
Is that where you live?
No. I live here. It's where I used to live.
Oh, all right.
What'd you say your name was?
Jill Tanner.
Jill sets down her cup, then stands.
Technically, I guess I'm Mrs. Benson.
She sits on a table.
I was married once when I was 16.
16? How long were you married?
She plops onto a couch.
Oh, God, it seemed like weeks.
Jill grabs a cigarette and a book of matches.
Actually, it was 6 days.
She lights her cigarette.
What was he like?
I'm sorry, I really don't want to talk about him.
Well, then don't. I'm sorry I asked.
No, I will talk about him. Once in a while, you should do something you don't want to do. Cleanses the inside.
Jill holds an ashtray as she steps slowly across the room.
Jack was wild looking. Sort of adolescent. Girls mature faster than boys, don't they? Anyway, we met, and it was like fireworks. Rockets. Every day was like the 4th of July. And the next thing I knew, we were standing in front of the Justice of the Peace getting married.
How long had you known?
Don flicks ashes onto a coffee table.
2-3 weeks. But, I mean, there we were getting married. And I wasn't even out of high school yet. And I had 2 exams the next day, and they were on my mind, too. And then I heard the Justice of the Peace saying, "Do you, Jack, take Jill to be your lawfully wedded wife?" Can you imagine going through life as Jack and Jill? And then I heard him say, "Till death do us part." Suddenly it became more like a funeral service than a wedding ceremony.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, it was so morbid. I hate anything morbid.
Yeah, but as long as you were married, why didn't you try to make it work?
I did. I tried for 6 days. I tried. But I knew it was a mistake.
Were you in love with him?
In my way.
What's your way?
I don't know. Well, just because you love someone doesn't necessarily mean you want to spend the rest of your life with them. And Jack loved me. I mean, he really, really loved me. And I hurt him. And that's just what I can't stand. I just never want to hurt anybody. Marriage is a commitment, isn't it? And I just can't be committed or involved. Can you understand?
Yeah, I can understand, but I don't agree.
Well, then you really don't understand.
Don flicks ashes onto the table again.
Wow. I thought I was sloppy.
What do you mean?
Unless you know something I don't know, like ashes are good for the table. Is that why you keep dropping them on there?
Did you move the ashtray?
It's right here. What, are you blind?
Yes.
What do you mean, yes?
I mean, yes, I'm blind.
Oh, putting me on. Don't do that.
No, I'm blind. I've always been blind.
You mean really blind? Not just nearsighted?
the works. I can't see a thing.
Jill steps slowly toward Don, who faces away from her. Crouching close to Don's face, Jill stares at his eyes. She waves her hand in front of his face, then steps away.
No, wait a minute. Don't get self-conscious about it. I'm not.
Why didn't you tell me?
I just did.
But when I came in.
You didn't ask me.
Well, why would I ask you? I don't walk into somebody's house and say, hi, I'm Jill Tanner. Are you blind?
And I don't meet someone and say, Don Baker, blind as a bat.
Well, I still think you should have told me. I would have told you.
I wanted to see how long it would take you to catch on.
Oh, God. Oh, and I saw you standing at the window all that time.
It was the coolest spot in the room.
Oh. I thought you were a peeping Tom.
Well, now that's what I call positive thinking.
You know, I nearly called the police. Suppose I had.
Well, they'd have locked you up.
Jill peers into Don's eyes.
You're so cool. So adjusted.
No, I'm not. I never had to adjust. I was born blind. It'd be different if I'd been able to see, then went blind. But for me, blindness is normal. I was 6 years old before I found out everybody else wasn't blind, and by then it didn't make any difference. So let's relax, okay? You know, if we can have a few laughs, so much the better.
A few laughs? About blindness?
No, not about blindness. Can't you forget that?
Well, you're the first blind person I ever met.
Congratulations. Too bad they don't give out prizes for that.
Well, I mean, I've seen blind men in the street and everything with dogs, but... Why don't you have a dog?
They attract too much attention. I'd rather do it myself.
Well, don't you have trouble getting around San Francisco? I mean, it's tough for me.
No, I manage very well with my cane. And I know exactly how many steps to the laundry, to the drugstore, to the delicatessen.
Where's the laundry? I need one.
Near the delicatessen. Go out of the house, turn right, and it's 44 steps from the front door.
I didn't see it.
Well, I'll show you.
You'll show? Wow. Hey, what about your apartment? I mean, don't you bang into things? You could hurt yourself.
Yeah, memorize the room. Bed. Guitar.
Don opens, then closes a door.
Bathroom. Jacket. My cane. Front door. Bookcase. Wine. Glasses. Chest of drawers. Linen.
What are these books?
Braille. Dining table.
He lifts the tabletop.
Bathtub.
He steps into the kitchen.
Kitchen. Ketchup. Oil. Salt. Pepper. Sugar. Coffee.
Gee.
Now, to just put the ashtray back.
Hurrying to the coffee table, Jill sits down the ashtray. Don sits on the couch, then stubs out his cigarette in it.
Voila. As long as you don't move anything, I'm as good as anybody else.
Better. I can't find anything in my place. If you really want to see chaos, come look at... Oh, I'm sorry. I mean that...
Well, I know what you mean. Look, I'm no different from anybody else, except I don't see. The blindness doesn't bother me as much as other people's reaction to it. Yeah, if they'd only behave naturally. Some people want to assume guilt, which they can't because my mother has that market cornered. So just be yourself.
Well, I always thought that blind people were, well, you know, kind of spooky.
But of course. We sleep all day, hanging upside down from the shower rod. When it's dark, we wake up and fly in through people's windows. That's why they say blind as a bat.
Come on, I'm serious now. Be serious. Don't blind people have the sixth sense?
No. If I had six senses, I'd still only have five, wouldn't I? My other senses, hearing, taste, and touch, might be a little more developed than yours. That's just because I use them more. I'll show you something.
Don stands.
Spin me around.
Jill grabs his shoulder, then spins him once more.
No, I mean really spin me.
She spins him around several times. He walks toward a window, then stops several inches from it.
There's something in front of me.
The window.
She hurries to him.
That's wild. How'd you do that?
Called shadow vision.
What's shadow vision?
It's being able to sense that there's a solid object in front of you. You can feel it. It's kind of a warning. Sighted people can do it too, but blind people can do it better.
I'll try it.
Jill flicks her long blonde hair from her shoulders. She closes her eyes, spins around several times, then walks into a wooden post.
Ouch! Ouch!
There are advantages to being blind.
Oh, I think it's so great you're not bitter. You don't seem to have any bitterness at all. I know I'd be terribly bitter if I couldn't see. I know I'd be disagreeable.
I doubt it.
Oh, no. I couldn't be cheerful like you. I don't have any of those marvelous qualities like courage and fortitude.
Well, neither do I. I'm just naturally adorable.
You're a lot more than that. You're a very superior person.
Oh, yeah, I'm fantastic.
I would not go gently into that good night. I would rage against the dying of the light.
Dylan Thomas.
Who?
It's a line from a poem by Dylan Thomas.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
You mean I can quote Dylan Thomas? How about that? I never even read him. I don't know where I learned it. I can quote Mark Twain. Mm-hmm. My favorite quotation's by Mark Twain. Want to hear it?
Go.
I only ask to be free. The butterflies are free. Mankind will surely not deny to Harold Skimpole what it concedes to the butterflies.
Don smiles. Jill lies on the dining room table next to Don, who sits on its edge.
I identify strongly with butterflies. You like it?
Yeah, very much, except it wasn't written by Mark Twain.
Why not?
It was written by Dickens.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Harold Skimpole's a character in Bleak House by Dickens.
Oh, I never read Dickens. Actually, I've never read Mark Twain either. But I always thought he wrote that. Have you read... Oh, God.
Look, I have read Dickens, and I've read most of Mark Twain, and Stop Falling Apart at every work. They're published in Braille.
Don picks up his guitar.
Awful. Ask someone who's blind if he's read something.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I read very well with my fingertips. Just ask me if I felt any good books lately.
Does anybody ever read you?
Yeah, magazines and newspapers.
Could I read to you sometime?
If you feel like it.
They sit on the couch.
What kind of magazines do you like?
Oh, Time, Newsweek, Berkeley Barb. I like to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I should read those too. I never know what's going on. I guess I don't really care.
Now, don't say that. Animals care, vegetables don't. You have to care about something, you're nothing.
Food.
Food?
I care about it deeply. I'm hungry.
Well, what about freedom? You care about being free, don't you?
Freedom is the most important thing in the world to me. After I've eaten.
Help yourself.
Okay, thanks.
She steps behind him.
My appetite embarrasses me.
She pulls a pear from the refrigerator.
You have to know a lot about things to care about them. I don't know much about me.
Oh, you don't like yourself very much, do you?
Why do you say that?
Because you're always putting yourself down.
Well, let's say I know my limitations.
Jill crouches by the couch.
I think you have a lot more potential than you give yourself credit for.
Just keep telling me that.
No, just keep telling yourself that.
She chews as she watches Don play guitar.
I knew the day you met me, I could love you. If you let me, though you touched my cheek and said how easy you'd forget me, you said. Butterflies are free.
Jill smiles.
And so are we.
That's wild! That's that song you keep singing all the time.
You like it?
Oh, I love it.
I wrote it. I could never get those last lines right, but I really like that thing about butterflies.
Butterflies are free. And so are we.
I know a little bit about music. I studied it in school.
Did you finish school?
I finished high school. Just. My mother wanted me to go to college. So I was going to go to UCLA, but I couldn't find a place to park. make a record or an album.
Yeah, I'm waiting to be discovered.
Well, after you get discovered and you're playing somewhere, you didn't dress like this?
Don wears a blue button-down shirt and tan slacks.
I hadn't really thought about it. There's something wrong with my clothes.
Well, they look as though your mother bought them.
That bad, huh?
Jill climbs onto the couch's back.
I guess it depends on where you're playing. I mean, they're fine if you're going to play in a bank. You ought to wear something a little more liberated.
My mother does buy my clothes.
Oh, I'd love to pick out something really wild for you.
Yeah? Like when?
I don't know, whenever you like.
How about now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have anything to do. Come on.
Joe pulls Don to his feet, then leads him across the room. He grabs his coat, then throws it across his shoulders.
Aren't you going to take your cane?
No, I'm going to take your arm. You can see, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Jill hurries to her apartment, smiling. Don pulls his door shut as he steps into the hallway. He puts on his light white jacket. Jill runs to him, then slips her arms through his. Grabbing her wrist, he slips his arm through hers. They descend the staircase.
Oh. Oops, careful.
They step outside, then turn right. People walk up and down the sidewalk. Jill counts as they walk.
32, 34, 42, 44.
They stop.
Hey, you're right. It's 44 steps to the laundry.
Later.
What made you come here?
I just thought I'd like to try something different.
Do you think you'll stay?
I don't really think about it. I'll see how it goes. I may be an actress. I say I may. I'll know tomorrow. I'm auditioning for a part in a new play with a little theater group called the Cosmic Workshop. It's about this girl who gets all hung up when she marries a homosexual. Originally, he was an alcoholic, but homosexuals are very in now in movies and books and plays, so they changed it.
They stop.
Are you homosexual?
No, just blind.
They walk through a wide alley.
Careful. There's a step.
Up and down.
One of my best friends is gay. Dennis. He's a designer. He's good, too. He made this blouse for me.
I'm sure it's very pretty.
Actually, he made it for himself, but I talked him out of it. Dennis, so campy and funny. I don't like lesbians. So heavy and humorless. The director's a friend of mine, and he thinks I can do the part. I just have to be approved by the author.
Who's the director?
You wouldn't know him. His name's Ralph Santori. He's from L.A. He's done a lot of little theater there, but never had a hit, so he came up here because he got a job with the Cosmic Workshop.
They stop at a thin tree.
We kind of made it together for a while, but then he wanted to get married, and I just couldn't face that again.
Were you in love with him?
I don't really think I've ever been in love with anybody. I don't want to be. It's too confining. Somebody always gets hurt. Hey, let's go in here. They've got wild things. There's steps.
Up or down?
Up. I can't think of everything.
They climb a narrow staircase. Inside, a man with a dark afro sits behind a glass counter. He smiles as Don and Jill step inside. A dark-haired woman folds a light orange sweater.
Hi!
You need any help? No, thanks. We're just looking.
Jill steers Don to a circular rack of colorful shirts. They stop at a wooden shelf. As Jill rummages through pieces of clothing, Don runs his hand over a light blouse.
How about this?
No, that's not for you. That's for Dennis.
That feels nice.
I'll buy it.
I'll buy it for you.
No, I don't want you to.
Please let me buy it.
No.
I really want to buy it for you. Yes.
Okay. Here. Hold this up.
Don holds a paisley shirt.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Can we do better than not bad?
Okay, wait.
Jill sets the shirt onto the rack, then examines other shirts. She holds a dark shirt with pink designs against Don's torso.
Hey. Yeah, try that on.
Don removes his jacket, which Jill takes from him. Don unbuttons his shirt. The man with the afro steps in.
I'll take my shirt, too. Found anything yet?
Don, this is Mr. Asparagus.
No, my name is Roy Stratton. The shop is called Asparagus. I named it that because I always think of asparagus as being a friendly vegetable. I mean, you might see one potato or one onion or one corn. But you never see one asparagus. They come in bunches. They're involved.
You never see one pea.
Well, I don't like peas.
Hey, this will look great with it. Here, try it on.
Jill helps Don put on a long fringe black vest.
Okay. Oh!
Yeah, now that's together. I like that.
Uh-huh. Sweet.
I love it!
And does it look like an album cover?
Yeah. Hey, but what you need is a hat. Hats are big now.
Well, what kind of a hat?
Say, baby, we got everything here. Over here.
Another man with an afro and long sideburns grabs the paisley shirt. Jill and Don follow Roy, who pulls a Confederate cap from a wooden cask filled with hats.
How about a Confederate cap? We saw a lot of these.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them.
Roy picks up a black brimmed hat.
Now, I like this one. What do you think?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, just...
Roy walks off.
Hey, how about this? A Tyrolean hat.
A green hat.
A Tyrolean hat, well.
Yeah, that looks good.
Roy wheels over a tall mirror.
I like that. Take a look at yourself.
Oh. Facing the mirror, Don adjusts the hat.
What do you think?
No. Makes me look like Heidi.
Got just the thing for you now. It's one of a kind. If I can find it.
A woman peers into the cask.
Here it is.
Roy digs out a reddish hat.
How about that?
What is it?
It's a cap from the French Foreign Legion.
I love it.
Roy places the hat with a black bill and gold band on Don's head.
Perfect fit. Man, you were born with that hat on. Hey, take a look at yourself.
Don faces Jill as he adjusts the hat.
In the mirror.
Don appears to gaze past Jill.
Yes, he is, and stop whispering.
The woman peers at Don.
Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't... Oh, it's not your fault.
Don't make a big thing out of it. We don't.
Huh, how much is the hat?
Hey, it's on the house, a souvenir.
How much is it? How much is it? And the shirt and the vest and Jill's blouse.
Hey, they've got the Berkeley bars. We'll take one of these, too.
Jill grabs a newspaper from the counter.
Do you have any dirty books?
No.
Too bad. That's the only thing that'll publish in Braille.
Outdoors, Jill and Don descend a staircase.
I guess it was the idea of someone blind asking for dirty books.
They each hold an ice cream cone.
No marks.
You mean it would have been all right if I were sighted?
I don't know. Anyway, you sure threw him into shock.
They walk through a park.
What about you?
Me? I've been in shock since I met you.
Well, do you think you could come out of it long enough to have dinner with me tonight?
For dinner, I'd come out of a coma.
Wearing his new outfit, Don steps to his refrigerator. Rain pours down the window panes.
Are you sure we've got enough for dinner? Salami, coleslaw, and potato salad.
All my favorites.
Jill descends the ladder, then skips to the kitchen.
Can I do something?
Tablecloth in the chest of drawers. You can set the table.
Well, that's not it at the table. I mean, salami and potato salad and stuff. That's not table food. Let's eat on the floor and have a picnic.
I got a better idea. Let's go to the beach.
The beach?
Yeah, I know a little stretch of sand where hardly anybody ever goes.
Jill glances toward a window.
Where?
Over there by the dining table. You can see it better if you're blind.
Oh, really? And how come you didn't notice the tie came in? I see a much better place.
Where?
By the bed.
Perfect.
Jill hurries to a dresser where she pulls a colorful blanket from a drawer. She spreads the blanket on the floor beneath the bed.
Is blindness hereditary?
I never heard that.
Can your father see?
I doubt it. He's been dead for 6 years. Up to Lenny didn't have any trouble, though.
Bet you miss him.
Yeah, I do. He was really the only friend I had when I was growing up. We were very close.
Jill grabs silverware.
It's been rough on Mom since he died, because she's had to be both, you know, mother and father, and sister and brother, and
yeah,
doctor and lawyer and congressman, congresswoman, rabbi, priest, padre.
Oh, I'm sorry. The knife's on the left or right?
On the right.
Jill steps to the refrigerator, then turns to Don.
Why were you born blind? Did the doctor say why?
Well, he said it was a virus in the womb, which means they don't know.
You know, I've heard that women with syphilis give birth to blind babies. Could your mother have had syphilis?
You meet her, then tell me what you think.
When will that be?
In a month. I got a month to go before she comes down here to see what's going on. If the clock strikes a month, she's going to walk in that door. You may have heard of her. She wrote some books. Her name's Florence Baker.
No, it's not familiar. But you can't go by me. I may even be quoting her and I wouldn't know it.
She wrote a series of children's books. Guess what they're about?
Children?
They were all about a blind kid named Little Donnie Dark.
Little Donnie Dark?
That's me.
Oh, you'll say anything to get attention.
No, it's true, I swear. I hate that name, Donnie.
Don carries a tray of food.
Ta-da! Tell him I'm gonna hit the beach.
He walks toward the blanket.
Stop!
Jill takes the tray. They both sit on the blanket.
Oh, this is the first time I've ever eaten on the floor.
It's so practical.
Jill stretches out.
You can sit in so many different positions. You can even lie down if you like. Tables are so confining.
Like love?
Yes. And, I never knew what to do with my elbows. Something missing.
Standing, Jill runs to the front door.
I know.
Where are you going?
You'll see.
As she runs toward her apartment, Don opens a takeout carton. Carrying the bouquet of daisies, Jill runs out of her apartment. She trots down the hallway, then hurries into Don's apartment. She holds the flowers beside Don's face.
Flowers.
I thought it would add just a touch of elegance.
She sits.
Now, tell me more about little Donnie Dark. Might curb my appetite.
Donnie's 12 years old. He was born blind like me. But that's no handicap to little Donnie Dark, no. He can drive cars, he flies planes. Because, you see, his other faculties are so highly developed that he can hear a bank being robbed a mile away. He can smell the communists cooking up a plot to overthrow the government. He's a diligent fighter of crime and injustice. And at the end of every book, as he's being given a medal by the police or the FBI, he always says,
"There are none so blind as those who will not see."
I'm taking some more of your salami. Since when do the police and the FBI give out medals?
Since my mother says they do.
Let's have a drink.
All I've got is wine.
That's all I drink.
Salami?
With everything.
Don stands.
Do children really read those books?
Shh. I'm counting so I don't step in the picnic on the way back.
He grabs a wine bottle and two glasses from atop a dresser, then walks back to the blanket, where he sets down the bottle and sits. Jill snatches a piece of salami from Don's plate.
You have just finished your salami. Does your mother still write them?
No, she wrote six of them when I was a kid. They were no Mary Poppins, but pretty popular, unless you happen to be blind. You didn't exactly tell it like it is.
He pours a glass of wine, then hands it to Jill.
I guess they were a projection of what she hoped I'd be. Sort of a sightless Superman.
Did you have to go to any special school or anything?
I went to regular school. When I finished there, nothing much happened until about a year ago.
What happened a year ago?
Family named Fletcher moved near us, and their daughter Linda used to come and read to me. She was the first close friend I had. She was fantastic. And wild. She used to drive me here all the time and take me to all kinds of parties. Linda gave me something that nobody else had thought to give me. Confidence. Changed my whole life. I mean, she talked me into leaving home. She found this apartment for me. At first, I was scared to death. But I did it. Maybe it was a mistake. I don't know.
No, it wasn't. You'd have to do it sometime. What's happened to Linda?
Well, she flipped for a painter we met at a party and went to live with him in Mexico. I wish you were here. It'd make it a lot easier.
Well, I'm here. I'm right next door. Anytime you need me, just knock. You don't even have to knock. You just have to whisper and I'll hear you. Hey, you know what? Why do we open that door?
Which door?
That door to my apartment. Must be a key.
Jill steps across the room.
Let's unlock it. And then we can go back and forth without having to run down the hall.
The janitor probably has a key, but I don't think we ought to ask him. No, I don't think we should do that.
Why not? We're friends, aren't we?
Yeah, but we'd be practically living together. How would it look? Who cares how it looks? I can't see anyway.
Don grabs a chest of drawers, blocking the door.
I'll bet we can open it with this sharp knife.
Well, we have to move the chest.
Okay, move it towards you.
They slide the chest from in front of the door.
There, that's fine. Okay.
Jill works the knife along the door's edge near the handle.
Oh. Oh, I'm going to call the janitor.
Well, let me try.
She places the knife in Don's hand. Crouching, Don slides the knife between the door and the door frame.
We did it! It's open! Oh! Don't look! It's an absolute pigsty!
Oh,
I won't.
Don turns and covers his face.
God. I'm sorry.
Jill lies on Don's floor.
I'll get the hang of it. I just don't know when. Oh, let's leave it open.
Okay, but tell me if you close it so I don't break my nose.
Do you wish you were Linda living there instead of me?
I hadn't thought about that. Why do you ask?
I just wondered if you were still in love with her.
Did I say I was in love with her?
Standing, Jill steps toward Don, who leans against a pole.
If I get too personal, just tell me to shut up. I get carried away.
She slowly circles Don.
Were you in love with her? Are you?
I think every man should have some mystery about him. And that'll be mine.
Don sits on the couch.
What's she like?
She's very pretty.
How do you know?
I can feel a person's face and get a good idea of what they look like. And I can tell by shapes and textures.
Do you want to know what I look like?
Yes.
I'm gorgeous.
Jill crouches near Don.
Really?
I wouldn't lie about something like that.
I've always thought if I could see for just half a minute, that I'd like to see how I look.
I'll tell you. Cute. And very sexy.
Don places his hands against the side of Jill's head. Smiling, she closes her eyes. Don runs his hands along the top of Jill's head.
Your hair is very soft. It's very long.
He recoils as he lifts her hair extension.
Jesus!
He drops it.
Oh, don't be frightened.
What happened?
Nothing. It's called a fall. It's a long piece of hair you attach to your head.
It's not your hair?
Not even my fall. I borrowed it from Susan Potter. I do have my own hair. See? I mean, feel?
She places Don's hand on her hair. He runs his hand over her hair, then down her smiling face. Standing, he steps back.
Oh, God, now what?
It's just an eyelash.
You don't have eyelashes?
Of course, but, these just make my eyes look bigger. They're longer than mine. Didn't Linda wear them?
No.
She probably had naturally long lashes. I hate her. Come on.
She places Don's hand on her head.
Scaring hell out of me.
Don't worry, it's all real from now on.
He slides his finger up and down her nose, then across her cheekbone.
Am I not the image of Elizabeth Taylor?
I've never felt Elizabeth Taylor.
We look exactly alike, especially if you can't see.
Don strokes her neck. Jill moves his hand to her breast.
That's my breast. All mine. Both of us.
Jill gazes up at Don. Kneeling on the arm of the couch, she wraps her arm around the back of his neck and kisses him. Jill turns Don, who bends over backward, then jerks free and steps away from her.
What's the matter?
What do you think's the matter?
Well, I wouldn't ask if I knew.
Why are you doing this? I mean, what is it? Be kind of the handicapped week or something? You've been feeling sorry for me ever since you came in here this morning. Take the poor guy out shopping. Show him a good time. Get him into the sack, and that'll take care of my social work for the next 6 months. Well, thanks a lot, but don't patronize me. And don't you feel sorry for me.
Well, let me tell you something, Big Mouth.
Jill steps toward Don.
I don't do anything for anybody I don't want to. And I'll be goddamned if I'm going to feel sorry for any guy who's going to go to bed with me.
Don slowly raises his hand. Jill takes his hand and presses it against her face. She lays her head against his shoulder. Don buries his face in her hair. Holding Don's hand on her shoulder, Jill leads him to the ladder where she steps onto the first rung.
I knew the day you met me, I could love you. You led me though you touched my cheek and said.
Later, Don, now wearing only underwear, sings and plays guitar on his raised bed.
Butterflies are free.
Jill?
I'm in here.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for something.
panties and a bra, Jill carries a container to the bed.
What have you done to your hair?
I just combed it.
She climbs the ladder.
Well, I'll fix it.
What's wrong with it?
It doesn't go with your new clothes. I have a present for you.
She lays Don's hand on the container.
It's in here.
Beautiful wood.
And mother of pearl. I take this with me everywhere. Everything that's important to me is in here.
She sets the container aside, then opens it.
This is a piece of the moon or a star. I found it in the desert, and I showed it to this geologist, and he said he'd never seen any mineral like it on Earth, and that it probably fell from a moon or a star.
Feels like a rock.
Well, it isn't. And this is one of my baby teeth.
She places a tooth in Don's palm. He makes a face.
Thank you. And this is my birth certificate. And this is a picture of me when I was in the Mikado in high school. It's not very good anyway.
Oh, no, let me see.
Jill hands Don a photo. He runs his fingers over it.
You were chubby then.
Yeah. Can you feel that? Ow. I believe you. I always believe you.
He unfolds a sheet of paper.
And this is my last will and testament.
Your last will and testament?
And the instructions to my funeral. My entire estate is to be divided equally among whoever are my four closest friends when I die. Names will be filled in later.
I thought you didn't like anything morbid.
But it isn't morbid. That's the point. Funerals don't have to be morbid. I know just how I want mine.
She climbs down.
In a big church. And I want all the pews removed. And nothing but big, big cushions for people to lie around on. And I don't want anybody dressed in black. I just want them in gay, bright colors and far-out clothes. And they should all be drinking or smoking pot or whatever they want. And I want Salvador Dali to paint the walls with lots of groovy pictures. And I want flowers. Tons of flowers!
She picks up the bouquet.
Not funeral wreaths, just tons of wildflowers strewn everywhere.
And butterflies.
Yes.
She pats Don's hand.
Lots of butterflies. And other animals can come, too. And I want music playing all the time. And I want Neil Diamond to write me a special memoriam and sing it. And I want the Stones to sing, and Simon and Garfunkel. And the Vienna Boys Choir.
And me.
Jill peers up at Don, then climbs the ladder. Leaning on the bed, she gazes at Don as he sings.
Control, take me home to the place I belong.
Jill sits on the bed.
Now, what is so morbid about that?
Nothing. It's like being buried at Disneyland.
She grabs a necklace from the container.
Here it is. Present for you.
She places it around Don's neck.
What is it?
What does it feel like? It
feels like a necklace.
They're love beads. I wore them when I was a hippie. And I want you to have them. They look groovy on you. Especially when I fix your hair. Come on.
Taking his hand, Jill climbs down. She lets go, then hops onto the floor.
Sit right here.
Jill motions to a chair, then steps into her apartment and grabs a hairbrush from her nightstand. She hurries back into Don's apartment and lays her arm across his shoulder.
But I don't want to look too wild.
Now you won't look wild at all. You'll look beautiful and romantic, just like Lord Byron.
What did he look like?
I don't know. God, I'm hungry.
There should be a couple of apples in the fridge.
Jill lays down the brush and trots to the refrigerator and opens the door.
There's an awful lot of lettuce, which is not what I'm dreaming of. There's only one apple.
It's yours. I'm not hungry.
Jill bites into an apple as she walks quickly to the coffee table where she picks up the brush. She sets the apple onto a small wicker stand.
Relax. This won't hurt a bit.
She brushes Don's hair.
When were you a hippie?
Oh, years ago. When I was a kid. I guess it was right after my marriage. I used to hang around the Sunset Strip and smoke pot and spit at the cops, the whole bit. I only did it because everybody else was doing it. And then I stopped doing it because everybody else was doing it. I was losing my individuality.
She brushes, then shapes Don's hair with her hands.
The main thing, of course, was to protest against my mother, which didn't work. I mean, I walked in one day with long, string hair and dirty sandals and freaky clothes, and she loved it. Next day, she comes in with long, string hair and dirty sandals and freaky clothes.
Jill brushes Don's hair to the side.
So how do you protest against somebody who's doing the same thing you are, right?
She frowns, then brushes his hair straight back.
So then, I went the other way. And I joined the Young Republicans. Another mistake.
Jill rubs Don's scalp. She flicks a long shock of hair back.
There's no such thing as a Young Republican.
She runs her fingers through the hair on the side of his head.
Terrific.
Doesn't look too wild.
No, it doesn't look wild. It gives you charisma.
Charisma?
Pizzazz. Star quality.
Jill crouches next to Don.
I mean, you don't even need talent. If you have charisma, they'll line up for blocks to see you.
She gazes at his face, then strokes his hair.
Wow.
Jill places her hand on the back of Don's neck, then kisses him. Leaning forward, he grasps the back of her head. They kiss. She lays her head against his chest.
You're beautiful. You're a beautiful person inside and out.
Oh, I like you too.
Yesterday when I took your hand and put it on my breast. Were you shocked?
Sort of.
So was I.
Well, that isn't from the standpoint of morals or anything. I was just sort of surprised to be feeling a girl's breast when I wasn't expecting to.
Well, I'd hate for you to think that I go around putting men's hands on my breast.
No, I don't think you go around doing that.
Well, I don't. I mean, if I want to go to bed with a guy, usually I have this little smile that lets him know I'm interested.
Uh-huh. Smile, that smile. I'm going to feel it.
He touches her mouth.
That's it?
No. I can't do it now. I'm making me laugh. I'll do it later. But I did have to use a different approach with you, didn't I? Anyway, I didn't want you to think I was terrible.
I didn't.
He kisses the top of her head.
And I don't.
Oh, I hate talking about sex. But I did want you to know that last night you were really...
Like the 4th of July.
Yeah, like the 4th of July. And like Christmas.
She kisses his forehead, then picks up the apple.
Now, where are you going?
I thought I'd make some coffee.
Great, we'll have breakfast in bed.
Standing, Don steps to the ladder, then climbs to the bed. He turns as his mother, holding a gift box, opens the door. Smiling, Mrs. Baker steps in. Peering over the top of the refrigerator door, Jill bites into the apple. Mrs. Baker gazes at her son as she steps toward him. Mrs. Baker looks toward the kitchen where Jill bangs her elbow on the refrigerator. Jill hurries behind a wall, peers around it, then runs off. Mrs. Baker peers up at her son.
Hello, Mother.
I'm glad I found you in, Donnie.
Jill, this is my mother.
Jill steps into a doorway.
Your mother? Have I been here a month?
Mother, this is Mrs. Benson.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mrs. Benson? Are you living here, too?
Oh, no, I live next door. I just came in for a cup of coffee. Yesterday. And, see, I had trouble zipping up my blouse.
So I see. Where is your blouse?
Oh, now, let me see. It must be around here somewhere. Oh, here it is.
Jill picks up her blouse.
See, I have this long zipper and it's hard to do up alone.
Oh. Here, put your things on.
Mrs. Baker hands Don his clothes.
What are you doing here? We had an agreement.
I was in the neighborhood.
You were at Saks, which is halfway across town.
I bought you some shirts, and I thought you'd have them so much sooner if I brought them myself.
I don't need any shirts. You just brought them as an excuse to come down.
Joe trots to Mrs. Baker.
Would you mind?
Mrs. Baker zips up Jill's blouse.
Yeah. And this is what you left home for?
This is it.
It isn't Buckingham Palace, is it?
No, it's the Taj Mahal.
Is this where you eat? On the floor?
That happens to be a beach.
Where did this furniture come from?
Some of it came with the apartment, and the rest I picked up at a junk shop.
Well, don't tell me which is which. Let me guess.
Mrs. Baker peers into Jill's apartment.
What in God's name is this?
I don't know what you're looking at.
I can't describe it.
It's my apartment.
Have you ever thought of hiring a maid, Mrs. Benson?
I can manage. I might be sloppy, but I'm not dirty. There's a difference between sloppy and dirty.
I'm so glad to hear that. Has this door always been open?
No. It's always been locked. I opened it last night.
What on earth is that?
Now what are you looking at?
That's what I'd like to know.
It's your bed.
My bed.
Isn't it terrific?
You actually sleep up there?
Like a baby.
What happens if you fall out?
I go to the ladder and climb up again.
Where are your clothes?
In the bathroom.
And where is the bathroom? Under the bed?
That's right.
Mrs. Baker steps beneath the bed, then opens the bathroom door. She inspects a large utility sink. Jill pulls Don down from the bed.
Wow! Were you ever right?
About what?
She never had syphilis. I'm surprised she had you.
Don puts on his shirt.
How come you introduced me as Mrs. Benson?
It made you sound more important.
Mrs. Baker steps to a toilet, then flushes it. She peers into the tank.
Testing the plumbing. She's a nut about plumbing!
Mrs. Baker glances over her shoulder. Don puts on his new hat.
Hey, how did you know it was your mother? I mean, when she came in here, she didn't make a sound.
Smell. It's called numero dies. She uses half a bottle at a time, and I always know when she's around.
It's like having a bell on a cat.
Mrs. Baker peers into a green metal cabinet full of clothes.
Now what's she doing?
Checking to see if I've got enough socks and underwear. No, what she's really doing is gathering evidence to hit me with and try to make me come home. She's changed tactics, though. She should have walked in and said, I could absolutely cry.
She'll say it?
No, I know all the routines.
I know what she'll say. I'll make you a bet. How about dinner tonight? Now, if she doesn't say it, then I lose and we eat in my place and I pay. But if she says it, then we eat here and you pay.
Okay.
Here she comes.
They hurry to the couch where they sit up straight, Jill still without pants on.
Well, that's some bathroom. No wonder you hide it under the bed.
Gee, I thought you were going to say something else.
I haven't finished. I haven't even started.
Well, say it and get it over with.
There's only one thing to say. Perhaps it's a blessing that you can't see what you're living in.
Mother, I count that blessing every time I walk in the door.
Donnie, can I be honest?
Can you?
This is it.
I am shocked and appalled.
Jill slouches.
I lose. 7:30, okay?
Perfect.
There's no tub in your bathroom.
It's under the dining table.
Don's mother turns, then lifts the top of the dining table, revealing the bathtub. She drops the tabletop.
I could absolutely cry.
You win. Hamburger's all right.
Okay, yeah, but at least two each.
I'm not just talking about this rat hole, Donnie. I'm talking about you two. Look at you. What is that thing on your head?
French Foreign Legion cap.
Oh, have you enlisted?
No, I was drafted.
I'm not just talking about that. You have lost weight.
I haven't lost anything. I'm the perfect weight for my height. 6'1", and my age, 11.
Well, I just like to see what you're eating.
Mrs. Baker strides to the refrigerator, then opens it.
Why, there's nothing in here but lettuce. And an apple.
Jill appears.
Where?
Behind the lettuce.
Yeah, I knew there was another one.
Tell me, where is Mr. Benson?
Who's Mr. Benson?
I assumed he was your husband.
Oh, you mean Jack. I don't know. Last time I saw him, he was standing outside the Hamburger Hamlet on the Strip. Why?
I was curious about your marital status.
I haven't any.
Joe's divorced, Mother.
Well, how old are you, Mrs. Benson?
19.
19, and you've already been married and divorced?
Yeah.
How long were you married?
6 days.
And on the 7th day you rested?
No, I split. I gotta change now. I have an audition.
Audition for what?
A play at the Cosmic Workshop.
I was speaking to Mrs. Benson.
A play at the Cosmic Workshop.
Then you're an actress.
Yeah.
Might I have seen you in anything besides your underwear?
Not unless you went to Beverly Hills High School. I was in the Mikado.
Jill picks up her skirt.
I played Yum Yum.
Yes, I'm sure you did. Does your mother know where you are?
Sure.
And does she approve of the way you're living?
What way am I living?
Mother, are you conducting some kind of survey?
You're asking for it, Donnie.
Oh.
I'm sure Mrs. Benson doesn't mind answering a few questions, do you, Mrs. Benson?
Well, I have this audition.
What does your father do?
Which one?
How many fathers have you?
Four. One real and three steps.
Your mother's been married four times?
So far. We live in Los Angeles.
Oh, then you come from a broken home.
Several.
Why does your mother marry so often?
I don't know. I guess she likes it. I mean, she likes getting married. Obviously, she doesn't like being married. I think I better get started, okay?
Mrs. Baker nods once. Jill steps toward her apartment.
Ciao!
Don't forget, 7:30 here.
What happens at 7:30 here?
Jill and I are having dinner together.
Mrs. Benson.
Just the two of us alone.
Mrs. Benson.
Don's mother picks up the hair extension.
I think you've forgotten something.
What is it?
Susan Potter's hair. I'm closing the door.
I don't blame you.
Mrs. Baker picks up several new shirts.
Did you have to be so goddamn rude?
Was I rude?
Oh, those questions. What are you, the Attorney General of Hillsborough?
I think I have a right to know something about my son's friends.
Rights? Let's talk about my rights. You're not supposed to be here for another month. Why'd you have to come today?
Since when do you speak to me like this?
Since when do you come sneaking into my room like this?
I didn't sneak in. The door was unlocked.
You should have knocked. I thought it was a raid.
It should have been. Why don't you lock your door?
Because until I knew my way around, it was easier for me to let people come in on their own. But I assure you, it will be locked from now on.
Well, I thought my coming here today was going to be a pleasant surprise for you. Had I known, I'd be treated like
you'd have come anyway.
And I'm glad I did. My worst fears have been realized.
Thank heaven for that. My worst fears were that your worst fears wouldn't be realized. Can you imagine if you came in here and liked it? We'd have nothing to talk about.
Did you have to choose such a sordid neighborhood?
To me, it looks just like Hillsborough.
I'd be terrified to live with the tight people around here.
They've been nice to me.
I bet they have. Yesterday, you told me you didn't even know Mrs. Benson's name.
That was yesterday.
Well, you certainly became friends in a hurry, didn't you?
Yeah, she's a very friendly girl.
Yes, I can see she is. May I ask you a personal question?
No.
Have you slept with this girl?
I thought you'd never ask. Yes, I have.
As if I didn't know.
Well, if you know, then why do you ask?
Now I know why you were so anxious to have a place of your own. Oh, I know you, Donnie. You've got that Linda Fletcher look on your face again. You're going to fall in love with this girl, too.
And if I do, does it bother you I'm heterosexual?
Mrs. Benson is not exactly the girl a mother dreams of for her son.
I'm not interested in the girl of your dreams.
She's got beady little eyes like a bird and a figure like a flag.
Oh, you just described the girl of my dreams.
Oh, Donnie, you can't see the difference between good and bad. I can. I can look into people's faces, into their eyes. You can't.
But I can see past their eyes and into their souls. Leave us not forget little Donnie Dark and all that vision.
I wish you did have some of that vision.
I'm sure you do, Mother. Deep, deep down, haven't you always been just a little ashamed that you produced a blind
child? There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Embarrassed, then.
You have never given me reason to be embarrassed by you.
Come on in.
Wearing a dress, Jill walks in.
I hate to bother you.
What is it?
Just another zipper.
Mrs. Baker zips Jill's dress. Jill steps behind Don.
Hang in there. I think you're winning. Thank you so much.
Jill walks back into her apartment.
She'll be a big help to you. She can't even dress herself.
Well, that's where I can help her.
Donnie, I have a wonderful idea. You come home with me. I'll have your bed raised. There's a ladder in the garage.
Nice try, Mother. It just wouldn't be the same.
All right. If you insist on staying here, I will not support you.
Don steps to the telephone.
What are you doing?
Calling the Chronicle. What a story. Florence Baker refuses to help the handicapped.
I'm serious, Donnie.
Oh, well, then I'll call the New York Times.
What are you going to do for money? The little you saved must be gone now.
I can always walk along the streets with a tin cup.
Now you're embarrassing me.
No, I'll keep away from Saks.
You just stop all this joking and tell me what your plans are.
I plan to sing and play the guitar. I'm pretty good. You said so yourself.
Well, I had no idea you were planning to make a career of it. Have you any idea of the competition you're facing?
I have just as good a chance as anybody else. Better. I have charisma.
May I ask how you arrived at this brilliant decision?
It was elementary, my dear mother, by the simple process of elimination. Hey, I made a lengthy list of all the things I cannot do. Like commercial airline pilot. I doubt the TWA would be too pleased at having me flying their planes. Nor United or Pan Am. Photographer? Definite out. Along with ball player and cab driver. Matador? Didn't strike me as too promising.
Honestly?
Well, I have considered becoming an eye doctor, but then that would just be a case of the blind leading the blind. That's a little joke, Mother. I said it was little.
I suppose Linda Fletcher put this guitar idea into your head.
You might say she was instrumental.
Oh, boy.
That was another joke. You're going to have to start laughing at something or people are going to think you're a lesbian.
You have certainly picked up some colorful language, haven't you?
You learn everything down here.
Yes. Well, I think, young man, you have learned just about enough.
She picks up a suitcase.
I hardly recognize my own son.
What are you doing?
What I should have done long ago. I'm taking you home.
Forget it, Mother. There's no way.
And not stay down here alone.
I'm not alone. I have friends.
You haven't fooled me with these parties. There are no parties. You have no friends.
I have now. I have Mrs. Benson.
You'd be better off with a seeing-eyed dog.
They're not as much fun. Besides, I've got a seeing-eyed mother.
That's right. And she's taking you home. Mrs. Benson will just have to learn how to dress herself.
Put the suitcase away.
Donnie, you're coming home with me.
Give me that suitcase.
Mrs. Baker picks up the suitcase.
Where is it? Give it to me.
Don holds his arm out straight.
Give it to me.
Holding the suitcase, his mother stares at him. She slowly steps forward, then lowers his hand to the suitcase handle. He grabs it, steps to the bathroom, then hurls it inside and shuts the door. He presses his fist against the door's stained glass. Mrs. Baker gazes downward. Don steps past the ladder.
Mom? Please stop worrying about me. I'm going to be all right. If the music doesn't work out, I can always study law or technology. Lots of things blind people can do today. And now, please, stop worrying.
He holds out his hand. His mother takes it and holds it against her face. Don kisses her cheek. They hug.
I've got to go. Thanks for dropping by.
Where are you going?
Shopping. I told you, I'm having dinner in tonight with Mrs. Benson. Just the two of us, alone.
Well, I'll just wait here until you get back.
I don't want you to wait. Have a nice trip home. I'll call you tomorrow. Now, please, I don't want to smell you here when I get back.
And after dinner, I suppose an orgy.
I hope so. At last, the sinister truth is revealed. Little Donnie Dark is just a dirty old man.
Don leaves. Mrs. Baker picks up the flowers and a plate, then carries them to the kitchen where she places them on a counter. She walks back toward the blanket.
Mrs. Benson.
Jill opens the door.
Yes?
Oh, Mrs. Benson, might I speak to you for a moment, please?
Well, I have an audition, and I should be leaving soon. I don't know this town. I always get lost.
Don't worry. I'll see that you get off in time. Please come in. Sit down. I thought we might have a little chat. You know, just girls together. Can I get you coffee? Tea?
No, thank you. But if that apple's still there.
I'm sure it is.
Jill steps across the apartment.
Where's Don?
Shopping. You must be so careful to wash fruits and vegetables today, you know. They spray those insecticides all over everything. I'm not sure that the bugs aren't less harmful. I like apples to be nice and shiny.
Mrs. Baker rubs the apple with a towel, then holds it out to Jill.
This reminds me of something. What is it?
I have no idea.
You handing me the apple, nice and shiny. I know. Snow White. Remember when the witch brought her the poisoned apple?
Mrs. Baker lowers the apple.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. I know you're not a witch.
Of course not. And I know you're not Snow White.
She hands Jill the apple. She picks it up by its stem.
Yes. Well, I certainly have enjoyed our talk, Mrs. Baker. And I wish I could stay longer, but I do have my audition.
Listen, my car's right downstairs. I'll drop you and we can talk on the way.
Oh, you're too kind, Mrs. Baker. I wouldn't dream of imposing.
Oh, you're not imposing. I'm free the whole afternoon.
No, thanks anyway. I have to have my lunch first.
I'd love to take you to lunch. I know the most wonderful little restaurant. They have the best food.
Oh, no, thanks.
Do you like lasagna?
The sky blue?
Well, they make a lasagna with 8 different cheeses, and the sauce is a state secret.
At Perry's restaurant, Jill and Mrs. Baker sit at a window table.
How do you manage to keep your figure, Mr. Benson?
I wish you'd stop calling me Mrs. Benson.
That is your name, isn't it, Mrs. Benson?
But you don't say it as though you mean it.
I'm sorry. Suppose I call you Jill. That's more friendly, and I'll try to say it as though I mean it. Now, Jill, you were telling me about your childhood.
I was?
It must have been interesting having so many fathers.
Well, yes, actually it was. But why don't you get to the point, Mrs. Baker? I know what it is anyway.
You do?
Well, I know you didn't ask me to lunch to discuss my childhood or to tell me how pretty I am.
I was interested in seeing what you and Donnie might have in common. He likes you very much.
Well, I like him very much. He might even be the most beautiful person I ever met. Just imagine going through life never seeing anything. Not a flower, or a painting, or even a Christmas card. I want to die. But he wants to live. I mean, really live. He can even kid about it. Well, he's fantastic.
Then you would want what's best for him, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh, now we're getting to it. I knew this lunch wasn't free. Like, maybe I should ask him to give up the apartment and go home with you. Is that it?
Donnie was happy at home until Linda Fletcher filled him with ideas about a place of his own.
Now, I think that you believe he can only be happy with you. For there are none so blind as those who will not see. There, I can quote Dylan Thomas and little Donnie Dark.
You constantly astonish me.
Well, we women of the world do that.
It's funny how like Linda you are. Donnie is certainly consistent with his girls.
Oh my God, it's after 3.
Oh, I'll get the check. Waiter? Waiter, please.
They step to the street.
I hope you won't tell Donnie that we had lunch together.
Okay, but if he asks, I won't lie.
You won't ask?
They walk up a sidewalk.
Why do you call him Donnie?
Well, that's his name. Don't I say it as though I mean it?
He hates being called Donnie.
He's never mentioned it.
Of course he has. You just don't listen. There are none so deaf as those who will not hear. You could pick up a lot of those, couldn't you? There are none so lame as those who will not walk. There are none so thin as those who will not eat.
Do you really, honestly think it's a good idea for Donnie to live in that place alone?
Yes, I really, honestly feel it's a good idea for Don to live wherever he wants to. Anyway, he's not alone. I'm right next door.
Oh, for how long? Do you have a lease on that apartment?
No.
Then you could move out tomorrow if you wanted to.
That's right.
You couldn't sustain a marriage for more than 6 days, could you?
My marriage doesn't concern you.
It didn't concern you much either, did it?
They cross a street.
As a matter of fact, it did.
Have you thought about what marriage to a blind boy might be like. Not even your mother's covered that territory.
Just leave my mother out of it.
They get into Mrs. Baker's car. Later, they drive through the city.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were so touchy about her.
I'm not touchy about her. I just don't want to talk about her, okay?
All right, we won't. We'll talk about you. You've seen Donnie at his best. In that place, but he's memorized. He's memorized how many steps to the drugstore, to the delicatessen. You were probably very impressed by that. But I've seen him in strange surroundings where he didn't know I was watching him. I've seen him lost. I've seen him panic. He needs someone who will stay with him, and not just for 6 days.
Stop worrying, Mrs. Baker. Nothing serious will develop between Don and me. I'm not built that way.
Donnie is built that way.
Oh, please, we're just having kicks.
Kicks? That's the way it started with Linda Fletcher, just kicks. But Donnie fell in love with her. He'll fall in love with you. Then what happens?
I don't know.
Well, I do know. Stop it now before you hurt him.
What about you? Aren't you hurting him?
I can't. I can only irritate him. You can hurt him. The longer you stay with him, the harder it will be for him when you leave. And you listen to me. You let him come home with me, and you go have your kicks with someone who won't feel them when you leave.
I'm not so sure you can't hurt him. Maybe more than anybody. I think you deserve all the credit you can get for turning out a marvelous guy. But bringing up a son, even a blind one, is not a lifetime occupation.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Now the more you help him, the more you hurt him. It was Linda Fletcher, not you, who gave him what he needed most. Confidence in himself.
Jill gets out of the car, then turns to Mrs. Baker.
You're always dwelling on the negative. Always what he needs, never what he wants. Always what he can't do, never what he can. What about his music? Have you heard the songs he wrote? I bet you didn't even know he could write songs. Well, you might be dead right about me. I'm not the ideal girl for Don. But I know one thing. Neither are you. And if I'm going to tell anybody to go home, it's going to be you, Mrs. Baker. You, go home!
Jill slams the door. Wiping her eyes, she runs off. Mrs. Baker watches her, then stares through the windshield. Mrs. Baker gazes out of Don's kitchen window. Holding a plate of raw beef, she peers into several cabinets beneath the stove. Don sits near the dining room table, which is covered with a tablecloth and set for two.
What are you doing?
I am looking for some wax paper to wrap this meat in.
There is no wax paper, Mother.
Meat looks terrible.
Nobody asked you to look at it.
What time is it?
With his finger, Don touches his wristwatch.
It's 20 of 10.
20 of 10?
I know. She's unreliable and undependable. What else is new?
You did say 7:30. I heard you. Why don't you change your shirt? Put on one of the new ones I bought you.
Because I like this one. Listen, you don't have to hang around, you know?
Oh, I'll just wait here until she gets back. I'm not going to interfere with your orgy. I told you that.
No, I told you that.
Mrs. Baker turns on a tape player.
I knew the day you met me, I could love you if you let me. Though you touched my cheek and said, ah, easy you'd forget me, you said. Butterflies are free.
Please turn that off, Mom.
Is that the song you wrote?
So yes. How'd you know I wrote that?
I didn't. I just asked you.
Oh.
It's good.
On
pretty.
Velvet.
I mean, it's pretty good.
No. I mean good and pretty.
Wow.
Where do you suppose she is?
She's probably still auditioning.
For 8 hours, I'm worried about her.
You're worried about Jill?
Aren't you?
Something's come over you. I mean, first you like my song, now you're worried about Jill. And you haven't mentioned my coming home for hours. Are you all right?
Don't I seem all right?
No. You're not behaving like Supermom. Next thing you'll be telling me you like Jill.
I don't dislike her. I just wish that she were a different sort of girl.
She is a different sort of girl. That's what you don't like about her.
When I was her age, punctuality meant something.
What did it mean?
It meant if I was going to be 3 hours late for dinner, I'd call and explain.
You'd never be 3 hours late.
No, I certainly would not.
He'd be a month early.
Maybe she's lost. She says she always loses her way around San Francisco.
Any cab driver can bring her home. She never said she loses her way around
San Francisco. Oh, yes, she said it to me.
Well, if she'd have said it to you, I'd have heard it.
Oh, well, I guess it was after you went out.
Was she in here while I was out?
It seems to me she was, yes.
Why?
The usual. She wanted her dress zipped up.
You did that while I was in here, Mother.
She just dropped by. She was only here for a minute.
What did you talk about?
I don't remember.
You remember she loses her way. What else did you talk about?
What does it matter?
If it doesn't matter, then would you tell
Daddy,
me?
Please don't shout at me. We talked about Snow White.
Snow White? And the Seven Dwarfs? That's Snow White?
Is there any other?
Why were you talking about her?
What difference does it make why we were talking about Snow White? We didn't say anything bad about her.
I don't want you talking to my friends when I'm not around.
I'll make a note of that.
Mrs. Baker pushes Don aside, then steps into the living room.
Donnie, did Linda Fletcher give you confidence?
You know damn well what Linda gave me, so don't try to be funny.
I wasn't trying to be funny. Did she also give you confidence?
Yes.
Didn't I?
You gave me help.
I always thought one led to the other.
Not necessarily.
Why didn't you ever tell me that you don't like to be called Donnie?
I told you 1,000 times.
I certainly remember something I heard 1,000 times.
Well, maybe it was only 999.
Don climbs to his bed.
What's wrong with Donnie?
Reminds me of little Donnie Dark.
What's wrong with that?
You work on it.
His mother steps onto the ladder.
What would you like to be called? I'll try to remember.
Don, Donald, you can call me Sebastian or Irving. I don't care. Anything but Donnie.
She climbs down.
I'm not going to call you Sebastian or Irving. I'll try to remember to call you Don.
She's back.
Don climbs down.
She'll be in a minute.
He steps to the chest of drawers.
You can go now, Mom.
There's a man with her.
Stop listening at the door.
I can't hear anything. They must be in the living room, but there's a man with her.
It's probably a radio.
Why would she be laughing and talking with a radio?
Would you please come away from there?
I am away from here.
Come in.
Jill and a mustache man step in.
Hi. I'm back. I brought Ralph Santori with me. Oh, Mrs. Baker, you're still here. Don, this is Ralph Santori. I told you about him. He's directing the play.
Glad to know you, Ralph.
Hi, Don.
And, this is Don's mother, Mrs. Baker.
How do you do, Mrs. Baker?
How do you do?
Don, I told Ralph all about you. Don, you meet
Jack. Hey, Jill told me, you know, how withered you are, how adept you are for someone who's... Well, for someone who can't see.
You can say blind, Ralph. It's in my vocabulary, too.
I should have known it. You know, Jill told me... She said I have no hang-ups about this,
Ralph. You don't have to shout.
Mr. Santori, my son is not deaf.
Oh. Sorry.
No, it happens all the time. People think if you can't see, you can't hear.
He can hear a lot better than we can.
No, I can't.
Jill peers at Mrs. Baker.
And what a sense of smell.
Can I fix you something before I leave?
Well, we've already had dinner. I wouldn't mind a little cup of coffee.
Ralph puts his arm around Jill.
You were expected here for dinner, Jill.
Oh, Don, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Jill steps to the dining table.
Everything's so beautiful. Candles. No flowers. That's me for you. I completely forgot. We went to this party after the audition to celebrate, and we drank a whole bottle of champagne or whatever that was.
It was sparkling burgundy.
And then you got the part.
Yes and no. I'm not playing the wife.
What are you playing, the homosexual?
No, his secretary. It's a small part, but I have one good scene.
She gave a great audition. That was I proud of her.
Were you nervous?
Was I? It wasn't the reading or anything, but can you just imagine having to stand there in front of all those people completely naked?
I'm sorry. I broke a cup.
Can I help you?
No, thank you. It's already broken. How many coffees?
I don't want any.
None for me.
Ralph holds up one finger. Mrs. Baker sweeps up the broken cup.
Why did you have to be naked for the audition?
Well, because there's a lot of nudity involved in this play. We had to see the actors' bodies. You see, the visual here is very important. I hope you don't mind my saying that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
How do you take your coffee, Mr. Santori?
Just black.
You know, I don't think anyone could call me a prude.
I'd like to see them try.
Well, at first I hated the idea of getting completely undressed. But there were like 20 or 30 actors there all around me, all naked. And I was the only one with clothes on. How would you feel?
Warm. All over.
I was out front with my writer and my producer. The minute we saw Joan naked, we knew she wasn't right for the lead.
Tell me, Mr. Santori, is there any story connected with this play, or is that too much to hope
for? It's a very dramatic story, Mrs. Baker.
I die in the end.
Pneumonia?
Jill's scene's going to be the wildest thing they've ever seen on any stage. I can do this thing better than anyone in the business. She'll be lying there, naked, dying of an overdose of heroin. Now, she's in agony, and she's writhing across the stage, on her back, delirious, screaming.
Do you think the public really needs this?
Are you kidding? They're dying for it. I'm talking about the thinking public. Not all those giddy little tight-ass matrons up in Hillsborough.
Don turns his head and covers his mouth as he smiles. Jill grasps a post supporting the bed, then places her nose against it.
Have I said something wrong?
Pick anything, Mr. Santori.
Ralph, Mrs. Baker lives in Hillsborough.
Ralph peers at Jill as he raises his eyebrows and points his thumb toward Mrs. Baker.
Well, present company accepted. Isn't that the rule?
I don't wish to be accepted, thank you. Tell me, what is the name of your play?
It's called Do Unto Others.
Oh, I must make a note of that, too.
You might like it, Mrs. Baker, if you just gave it a chance. You know, saw it with an open mind.
Mrs. Baker carries a plate and silverware to the kitchen.
Mom hasn't liked anything since The Sound of Music.
Well, I think we just might be able to make it without the support of Hillsborough.
Good. Because I wouldn't count on the support of this giddy little matron. I do not intend to pay money to see nudity, obscenity, and degeneracy.
Mrs. Baker, these things are all a part of life.
I know, Mr. Centauri. So is diarrhea. But I wouldn't classify it as entertainment.
I think we'd better get going. How long will it take you to get packed?
Oh, not long. I only have 2 bags.
I'll pick up some food downstairs while you're packing, and I'll meet you at the car.
You going somewhere?
Didn't I tell you? I'm moving in with Ralph. I thought I mentioned it.
No, you didn't.
Well, this place is so tacky, and Ralph thought it'd be a good idea if I moved in with him.
It was your idea.
It really doesn't matter whose idea it was. It was a good one. Hey, Ralph has a terrific studio apartment. Wait till you see it. We want you to come over, you know, whenever you like. If you're alone or anything, just come on over. Right, Ralph?
Right.
I told you you'd like Don. Hey, we'll have groovy times over there, and you'll love Ralph. He's one of us. I wish you could see him. He has a great face. Hey, Ralph, let Don feel your face.
Jill pulls Ralph over to Don.
He can tell what you look like by feeling your face.
Jill pulls Ralph over to Don.
He doesn't want to.
Jill places Don's hand on Ralph's face. She lets go, and Don's hand slides off. Jill steps away.
Well, it's been great meeting you, Don.
Ralph taps Don's arm.
See you soon, I hope. It was nice meeting you, Mrs. Baker. I apologize if I offended you.
That's quite all right, Mr. Santori. I can assure you it won't happen again.
Don's chest slowly heaves as he breathes deeply.
Jill?
Ralph leaves. Don's eyes widen as he blinks. Mrs. Baker looks from Don to Jill, who lowers her gaze as she wrings her hands.
I'll stop in and say goodbye before I leave.
Jill strides into her apartment. Don nods his head several times. Mrs. Baker leans against the table and then closes her eyes as she lowers her head. Don stands.
Mom, are you here?
Yes.
There's something I want to tell you.
Is it something awful?
No, you'll like it. But you better sit down.
I'm sitting.
I want to go home. You get the car and I'll pack.
Don walks beneath his bed, then turns around.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Then why don't you say something?
I intend to. I'm collecting my thoughts.
Well, do that while you get the car. Hold it a moment.
Don grabs his suitcase.
Just a minute. I think we should talk about it.
Talk about it? Isn't that what you wanted? Isn't that why you came down here today, to bring me home?
Yes.
Well, then what's to talk about? We've been at this all day. You said it isn't Buckingham Palace. You said I'm living in a rat hole.
And you said it's the Taj Mahal.
Are you saying you don't want me to come home?
No. I'm simply saying I think we should talk about it. Now put the bag down.
I'm coming home,
Mother. Put it down.
Don sets the suitcase on the floor.
Please don't misunderstand me. This place is dreadful. I doubt that I will ever like it, but I didn't choose to live here. You did. You couldn't wait to get a place of your own. You rushed into this. Now you want to rush out. I think we should talk about it.
It's funny how you and I think exactly alike, except never at the same time.
Standing to the right of his mother, Don holds his arm out straight. Mrs. Baker raises her arm, but Don lowers his, then steps away. He sits on the small wicker stand.
I can't make it, Mom. I just know I'm not going to make it.
Why? Because a girl has walked out on you?
Two girls. Let's don't forget Linda.
And it could be 10 girls. Girls walk out on sighted men, too, you know.
That's supposed to make me feel better.
Well, it's supposed to make you stop feeling sorry for yourself. You have never felt sorry for yourself before. Please don't start now. Oh, Donnie, you are going to meet so many girls. And one day you'll meet one who's capable of a permanent relationship. Jill isn't. She knows this herself. I really think that you're better off staying here for right now. I don't want you coming home discouraged and defeated. You've got your music.
Once and for all, will you get it into your head that I'm not little Donnie Dark? You're goddamn right I'm discouraged. I am defeated. It's over.
Do you remember the first Donnie Dark story?
No.
You were 5 years old. We were spending the summer at Lake Tahoe. Dad took you out into the lake, and it was the first time that you'd ever been in any water that was deeper than your bathtub. You were terrified. They could hear you screaming all over California. Dad brought you in. I put you to bed. You trembled for hours. That night I told you a story about a little blind boy who could swim the 7 seas, who could talk to dolphins.
And the dolphins told him about the enemy submarines that were coming to destroy the United States Navy, and Donnie Dark swam ashore just in time to save them. What a lot of crap.
The next day you learned to swim. Listen. I didn't write those stories hoping for a Pulitzer Prize in literature. I wrote them because I found a way of helping you. Whenever you were discouraged or defeated, I told you another story. You tried a little harder, and you did a little better. Shall I make up a story now? Or are you man enough to handle the situation yourself?
A month ago, you didn't think I was man enough. You said I wasn't ready to leave home. Why have you changed?
I don't know that I've changed. You're not the boy who left home a month ago. I came down here today hoping that you were.
Mrs. Baker steps to the couch, then picks up her purse.
You know, Donnie, it's not easy to adjust to not being needed anymore. I can do it now, and you get on with your own life. I'd like to see you have some decent furniture. Some dishes and some glasses. I'll send some up.
Okay.
And linens. Bigger ashtrays. You know, if you fix this place up, it might not be so bad. Could I help you fix it up a little?
Sure.
I'll call you in the morning and we'll talk about it.
Mrs. Baker steps toward the door.
Hello?
Stopping, she turns and gazes at Don, who sits facing away from her.
I'm glad you came.
She walks back toward Don. Hurrying, she wraps her arms around his shoulders. Don grasps her arms as she kisses the back of his head.
I love you, Don.
No, Mom. I know you do.
Mrs. Baker kisses her son again, then slips her arms from around his shoulders and leaves. Don stands. He steps across the room, then knocks on the door separating the two apartments.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'll be right in.
He steps away from the door. Carrying her bags, Jill walks in.
I got everything. Listen, I left my new dish towels and some light bulbs in the kitchen if you want them.
Thanks, I don't need them.
Well, let's not have any big goodbyes or anything. I'll be in touch with you.
Can't you stay a minute?
Well, once I'm going somewhere, I like to keep going, you know what I mean?
Sure, I'm the same way, but I was just going to have a corned beef sandwich on rye. Do you want one?
Once I'm going somewhere, I like to get going unless somebody offers me a corned beef sandwich on rye.
Jill sets down her bags.
I locked the door from the inside. Will you give the key to the janitor for me?
Sure.
I'm putting it here on the table. I guess you better have him lock up that door again.
No, I'll wait and see who moves in. It might be someone grooving.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
You want a beer?
Yeah. Candles are still lit.
I'm very religious.
Where's Mama?
She went home.
What was the verdict?
She accepted my Declaration of Independence.
You're kidding.
No. I must say she put up a great battle.
Maybe she should have won. I mean, maybe you'd be better off at home.
Now, that's a switch.
Well, I've been thinking about it.
Come on, girl. It took me a whole day and 3 pints of blood to convince my mother. I don't want to have to start on you.
Well, I like to have things done for me.
Well, then give up Ralph and the play and move in with my mother. I'm out of mustard.
I don't care.
Don carries a beer and a sandwich on a plate.
What'd you think of Ralph?
The plate hits a metal pole.
Where are you?
I'm on the sofa.
I couldn't tell where your voice was coming from.
You always come before.
I wasn't concentrating. He seemed very nice.
Who?
Ralph.
Oh, you didn't like him, did you?
I said he seemed very nice.
No, I could tell you didn't like him. You were a little uptight.
I'm always a little uptight when there's more than one person in the room. I have to figure out who's speaking and if they're speaking to me.
I guess you didn't like him because he was rude.
Was he rude?
Well, you know, putting down Hillsborough and your mother like that.
That was an accident. I'm sorry you think he's rude.
I don't think he's rude.
Well, you said it. I didn't. Or is there someone else here?
Well, I know he comes off as a little conceited.
Tell me, Joe. Do you like Ralph?
And what kind of question is that? Oh, I'm moving in with him, aren't I? Why would I move in with a guy I don't like?
That was my next question.
Jill sets the sandwich and beer on the coffee table.
Well, I better be going. Ralph's waiting.
Come to think of it, I guess I don't like Ralph.
I knew it all along, but why?
Like you said, he's rude and conceited.
No, I knew that's what you thought, but he only seems that way. I really hope we could all be friends.
Did you really?
Well, thanks for the sandwich. I better be going.
I'm going to tell you something. You don't like Ralph Santori.
Oh, God. I just packed 2 bags sitting right here so I can move in with him.
I don't care if you've got 13 trunks. You don't like him.
You really are something. I mean, you think just because you're blind, you can see everything.
That's right. And that sixth sense we've got tells me you don't like Ralph Santori. How about that? Spooky, isn't it?
No, it's just stupid. I packed two big bags sitting right over there.
Tell me, Joe, with Ralph, is it like the 4th of July and like Christmas?
Not exactly. He has a kind of strength. With him, it's more like Labor Day.
Do you think he's a beautiful person, too?
In many ways, yes.
Do you love him?
Why should I answer that? No matter what I say, you've already made up your own mind about it.
Go ahead, answer it. Do you love him?
Yes, in my way.
Well, yesterday you told me you couldn't love anyone.
Well, that was yesterday.
Look, I'm not the worldliest human being on the block, but I know when you're rushing into the arms of a man you love, you don't stop for a corned beef sandwich on rye. Is it something my mother said?
Was what something your mother said?
The reason...
Don walks into the wicker stand.
The reason you're leaving. The reason you didn't show up for dinner. And I know you didn't forget. Was it something my mother said?
You don't even listen to your mother. Why should I?
Well, then why are you leaving? Don't give me that crap about loving Ralph.
I'm leaving because I want to leave. I am free, and I go when I want to go, all right?
But it might have something to do with me.
It has nothing whatsoever to do with you.
Okay. Scared to death of becoming involved, aren't you?
I told you all about that.
That's right, you told me. No responsibilities, no commitments.
It's just that I have to be able to get out. If I get tired...
Tired of me?
Of anybody.
What if I got tired of you?
Of me?
Doesn't anyone ever get tired of you?
Well, I don't know. I don't hang around long enough to find out.
Well, with Ralph, you could walk out anytime you feel like it, but it might be a little harder walking out on a blind guy, right?
Blindness has nothing to do with it.
You know goddamn well it has. You wouldn't feel a thing walking out on Ralph. Or Sebastian or Irving would walk out on little Donnie Darko, and you might hate yourself, and you wouldn't like that, would you? Well, hate me. Or love me. Don't leave because I'm blind. Don't stay because I'm blind.
Who are Sebastian and Irving?
Nobody.
Sometimes I just don't understand you. I mean, we really don't think alike. And I know I'd only hurt you sooner or later. And I don't want to hurt you.
Why not? You do it to others. Why am I an exception?
Because... Well, I just don't want to be another Linda Fletcher. She hurt you, didn't she?
Yes, but she helped me, too. She was there when I needed her.
Well, I can't promise that. I don't know where I'll be when you need me.
Oh, girl, you need me a hell of a lot more than I need you.
I don't need anybody. I never did, and I never will.
Jill slings her purse over her shoulder, then picks up her suitcase.
I have to go now.
I'm glad you said have to and not want to.
Well, I finally said something right.
She picks up a canvas bag.
I'll be seeing you.
Holding her luggage, Jill peers at Don, who turns away and steps beneath his bed.
I'll be seeing you. I'll think about you for years. I wonder if you ever made a commitment. If you ever got involved.
I hope not.
Don't worry. It won't happen. It can't. Because you're emotionally retarded. Did you know that? That's why you couldn't face marriage. That's why you can't face anything permanent, anything real. You're leaving now because you're afraid you're going to fall in love with me. You're too adolescent for that responsibility. You're going to stay that way for the rest of your life, thinking you're free. Oh, God, I feel sorry for you. Because you're crippled. I'd rather be blind.
Jill sets down her suitcase, opens the door, picks up her suitcase, then leaves. She leans her head against the outside of the door, then picks up her suitcase and hurries down the stairs. Don steps across his apartment toward the kitchen. Raising his arms straight in front of himself, he stops at a wall. Jill runs down the crowded sidewalk past people standing in a line snaking around a corner. Hurrying into the street, she raises her arm.
Hey, Jill!
Turning, she steps toward Ralph, who stands next to a phone booth. Jill stops near a mailbox.
Come on!
Jill walks up to Ralph. They peer into each other's eyes. Don walks to his tape player, then turns it on.
I knew the day you met me.
He picks up the remaining plate and silverware. As he steps to the kitchen, the fork drops to the floor.
Touch my cheek and smile.
Don crouches and runs his hand across the floor. He picks up the fork, steps into the kitchen, then smashes the plate against the counter. Don steps to the dining table, then blows out the two candles.
On that velvet.
As he straightens, his face brushes across the top of the flowers.
When our love was formed,
Don grasps their stems and buries his face in the bouquet.
If you left me without warning.
He rips the tablecloth from a table. The vase smashes against the wall. Don hurls a chair. Backpedaling, he trips over the couch and slams onto the floor. Slowly pulling himself to a kneeling position, Don lays his head on the coffee table. Jill opens the door, peers at Don, then backs into the hallway. She opens the door partway, peeks around it, then steps back into the hallway. She walks in and sets her suitcase down. Don sits up.
Who is it? Who's there?
Jill slowly steps toward him.
The news is good. It's not your mother. What are you doing on the floor?
I was just about to have a picnic.
Jill crouches next to Don.
Without me?
I didn't know I had a choice.
Jill takes Don's hand in both of hers.
You're going to be very proud of me when I tell you what just happened.
What?
Shadow vision.
What do you mean?
Well, I can do it. I just did it. It was incredible. I came within 1 foot of this obstacle and I stopped cold.
Well, what was it, a lamppost?
No. It was Ralph.
Jill lays her head on Don's hand.
I have a confession to make. I cheated just a little. My eyes were open.
Don smiles.
Well, it's about time.
Hugging each other, they rock back and forth. Starring Goldie Hawn as Jill, Edward Albert as Don, Eileen Heckert as Mrs. Baker, Michael Glazer as Ralph, and Mike Warren as Roy, a Frankovich production. Description created by NCI Describe Media.